What's up, everyone? It's Jonathan, and 2022 is almost here. And if you're like me, you love to spend some time intentionally reflecting on the year and setting some goals or resolutions or habits or rhythms or a theme for your year. I've tried everything, and ultimately I end up giving up on them or forgetting them altogether by the time March rolls around. But one thing that's been really helpful for me is to instead create a personal mission statement, one that is both audacious and achievable to help guide my actions, filter my decisions, my yeses and my nos, and to really catalyze me into becoming who I want to be in the year to come. And so I'm going to host a virtual workshop on January 7th that's going to be designed for you to create a personal mission statement, one that can really capture the essence of your why that drives all the things that you do, and you can use it for both work and life and leadership and relationships and spirituality. All of it can be kind of filtered and guided by your personal mission statement. So there's a link in my Instagram bio. I'll also drop a link in the show notes, but I'd love for you to join me January 7th to craft your personal mission statement to guide your 2022. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in the dark streets shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight.
Hey, it's Jonathan, and welcome to Epiphany, an audio devotional for all of us on the way to wisdom.
As I record this, I am surrounded by boxes with tape and labels on almost all of my stuff. I'm getting ready to move. And the house that I'm moving into will be my 27th address in my 30 years of life. It didn't always happen that I moved once a year. Sometimes we would have four addresses in a year, and other times we'd be at one address for 4 years. But moving as much as I have, living in all the places that I have, has given me a wonderment and a profound appreciation and even curiosity for a sense of place. And as we enter into the second week of Advent, I want us to explore what it means that Jesus was born into a specific place. This is something that is core to how God has chosen to reveal God's own character and plan and mission in the world throughout all of Scripture. We talked last week about how Advent is an invitation into a specific kind of time. Advent is a specific kind of time, but it's also a profound witness to how God chooses to enter into a specific kind of time in the Christmas story, a specific moment in history, and what that means for us who try to be in any other moment except for the one that we're in, to follow Jesus again back into our specific time and be present to that. We see that in Scripture, even at the beginning of creation, when God creates in the first 6 days and on the seventh he rests. Different than the other gods of the ancient Near East who would make mountains or make rivers holy and sacred places, God makes time sacred. And so when we keep practices like Sabbath, when we mark seasons like Advent and Lent and the other gifts of the church calendar, we are entering into a holy time, a specific kind of time, where God wants to meet us in a specific kind of way. But throughout Scripture, we also see that God does designate place as sacred and does care specifically about place. You can track the movements of Scripture where God is creating place for his people to dwell and to thrive and ultimately to encounter and experience God's goodness.
We see this first in the garden when God places the woman and the man in a garden, a contained and set apart place to live and relate and love amongst one another in God's presence, but also to create and make and move about in the world in a way that is meaningful. Later on, we see in the tabernacle a certain sense of place where we can meet with God. And ultimately in the temple, a sense of place where heaven and earth were meant to meet and to become one place, which is ultimately what we are longing for and find our hope in, that one day heaven and earth would be made permanently into one place where God and God's people can dwell together in full union. God cares about place, so it shouldn't surprise us that when approaching a way to save the world, a way to bring about the full hope and restoration of humanity, even though God could have been anywhere at any time, the incarnation of Jesus is a testament to being in one place at one time. If you think about what does it mean that Jesus chose to be incarnated, to become human, to be born in a very specific place, a little town of Bethlehem. It should be no surprise to us, because this shows the character and heart of God that we've seen all along. And as this hymn teaches us, a little town of Bethlehem is an unlikely place for a king to be born. What does it mean that Jesus was not born at the seat of power and privilege and empire of his day in Rome, or the seat of culture and an advancement like an Athens or an Alexandria? What does it mean that Jesus wasn't born at the seat of religious power and influence of a Jerusalem, but that Jesus was born in a little town of Bethlehem? What does that say about how God goes about place? Even where Jesus actually grew up, in his neighborhood of Nazareth, we find in the Gospels that when Nathanael was told that the Messiah was coming from Nazareth, his response was, "What good can come from Nazareth?" Which tells you about the kind of place that Jesus chose to belong, to be raised, to be a part of, and to be a part of him. In Eugene Peterson's translation of the Bible in the Message version, you can read the beginning lines of the book of John that says, "And God took on flesh and moved into the neighborhood." Jesus' incarnation is more than a theological phenomenon. It is bearing witness to the character and heart of God to be in a specific place fully, especially when that place is known for darkness, known to be unloved, known to be neglected. That's the kind of place that Jesus is wanting, longing, and hoping to enter into. This is disruptive and even subversive to us who find ourselves at a moment in history where we could, like never before, be anywhere. We can travel, we can move, we can, most of us have a flexibility in our schedule to decide to work from anywhere or be anywhere we can get to by transportation, whether public or private. Like more than ever before in history, we can be anywhere. So what does it mean then when we participate in an Advent anticipation of a longing for a Jesus to come and be somewhere specific? What does that speak to, this underlying anxious pressure that we all feel inside of us, that because we can be anywhere, we should be anywhere else but where we actually are? Jesus could be anywhere, but he chose to be in a specific place. And so Advent and this story subversively invites us to return to where we already are, to fully be where we are, to be incarnational, present to where we are right now. Because just like we can only meet God in the moment we are in, we can only meet God in the place we are in, where we actually find ourselves. And the good news is we don't have to journey to some sacred mountain, to some sacred river, to some sacred other place where it feels like everybody else is experiencing the life that we want. We can meet God right where we are. In fact, it's the only place that we can meet God. And the good news is that God wants to meet us there. Not only that, but God wants us to be incarnational, living embodiments of the hope that we profess to the home that we belong, the neighborhood where we reside, and the city that we call home, especially the neglected, forgotten, dark, and abandoned places of those homes that we call our home. So today, in this Advent season, may you be where you are. May you bring the gift of your full self to your specific place with all of its complexities, with all of its darkness, with all of its nuances. May you be there, and may you be fully there, because you are a gift to that place. May you find hope, peace, and joy in the truth that Jesus is also choosing to be in your place, wanting to meet you there and wanting to be with you. And may you be a living testament to the incarnational reality that Jesus is moving into your neighborhood, that every time you wake up, it is Christmas morning, where Jesus has come right where you are, to your city, to your home, to your place. And may this truth fill you with the wonderment and the exhilaration and the thrill of hope that we celebrate in this season.
Thanks for listening. I'm Jonathan, and this has been Epiphany.